Shaka pa sitro Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. You are awesome. You are awesome. Blessed be your holy name. We love you, Yeshua. We love you. I love you. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill this place. Flow through me. Manifest, Holy Spirit. Have your way in me and through me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Chakapa sitoroko shandarabasi. Sitoroko po sitoroko shandar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up his holy name. Just worship him. Love on him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Shakapasi torokoshandarabasi. I'm hearing that there's some people that will be listening to this. And they are looking for the truth. They've been seeking truth and they found this recording. I pray that you receive the truth that I share today, that it will go deep into your spirit, and that you would come to the saving knowledge of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior, our Messiah, that you would be born again. Come, listen. Come into the kingdom. Yeshua said, we must be born again. Hallelujah. Be born again. Just repent and be baptized. Hallelujah. This is Lots of Love Ministries. And I welcome you here today. And if you are looking to get baptized, contact me. Contact me. My email is lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com. I'm here and I would be very happy to baptize you here in the panhandle of Florida. Contact me. If you're not in my area, still contact me and I will help you find a place in your area where you can get baptized. You could be plugged into a group of Jesus loving people who believe in the Bible and can help you grow in your relationship with our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, today we're going to have a lesson. It's probably going to shake up some of your beliefs. I understand where you're coming from. Because many years ago, this truth that I'm about to share shook up my belief systems, as you will learn. So I pray that you will buckle up and open your ears and your heart and just listen and receive this message today. It starts with the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Take to heart these instructions with which I charge you this day. Impress them upon your children. Recite them when you stay at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and let them serve as a symbol on your forehead. Inscribe them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. According to my Jewish learning, the Shema is the centerpiece of the daily morning and evening prayer services, and is considered by some the most essential prayer in all of Judaism, an affirmation of God's singularity and kingship. Its daily recitation is regarded by traditionally observant Jews as a biblical commandment. Back in the early 1900s, a group of Christians got this revelation on the oneness of God. They came to understand the Shema and attempted to share this knowledge with their brothers and sisters. However, many could not grasp the revelation, and the church was split into two groups. The group who had the revelation of the Shema were called Oneness Pentecostals, and the others called themselves Trinitarians. The revelation that God is one was called a heresy by Trinitarians. I was raised a Trinitarian. However, I made some friends when I was in my late 20s who were Oneness Pentecostals. They shared their oneness doctrine with me. Because I have always wanted to know and walk in the truth, I spent 8 months in deep prayer and Bible study, seeking whether what they taught was indeed the truth or not. What I learned was that they were indeed right. Yeshua is the Father. The Holy Spirit is Yeshua. Now, Trinitarians, don't tune me out yet. And we'll lay a foundation for this. Have an open heart and then go and be a Berean and study it for yourself. Being baptized in the name of Yeshua is the correct way to be baptized. I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit when I was 9 years old. But when I was rebaptized in the name of Yeshua, it was dramatically different. I came out of that water glowing white, and there was indeed a change. I believe that when I was baptized at 9, God honored that baptism and protected me, but because he knows my heart, he led me to the truth. So if you're baptized in the titles of God rather than the name above every name, Yeshua or Jesus in English, then I do not judge you. However, let's look at the scriptures that I found to support the oneness doctrine. Because if a doctrine is biblical, then it cannot be a heresy. Additionally, there must be adequate scriptural support. Taking one scripture, especially out of context, and creating a doctrine is what produces heresy. Based on this truth, I will present many scriptures. So buckle up. Open your hearts and listen as I connect the dots and rightly divide the word of truth and show you how I came to accept that the Shema is indeed the truth. Because of this day, more than any other day, we must be lovers of the truth, lest a spirit of deception come upon us. Amen. Be lovers of the truth. But first, let's remember the biblical litmus test to determine if someone is of God, which is found in 1 John 4, which says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." That's pretty simple. See, I'm not asking you to just believe me. You are to test the spirits. So here, I confess Jesus, the living Word of God, has come in the flesh. According to John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. He was made flesh, and he came down, and he dwelt among us. I am a firm believer in John chapter 1. I confess that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life and died on a cross for our sins. He paid the price because the wages of sin is death. And he died for us, paid that price. But he didn't just stay in the grave. No, he rose again and will return again one day to establish his kingdom on the earth. So I'm confessing Jesus came in the flesh. He is my Lord and Savior. When I serve the one true God, he is God and reconciled us back to himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I point you to him and direct you, as always, to study the Bible for yourself under the leading of Holy Spirit. I am not building a kingdom for myself here, but doing my part to advance the kingdom of God in my sphere of influence with his help. Amen. Now, Proverbs 25:2 tells us, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Did you know that we are a kingdom of kings and priests? We are all kings and priests to our God. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Wow. That phrase, a royal priesthood, speaks to our kingship and position in the family of the King of Kings. Revelation 5:10 says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Kings reign. And did you get that? We are going to reign on the earth. Everybody's looking to go to heaven. That's just a temporary place. We're going to return with our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:10 tells us that Yeshua is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords by saying, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we are kings, and it is our glory to search out a matter that God has hidden in the Bible. As I always say, be like a Berean and search the scriptures to see if what I say is or is not true. That is what I did all those years ago. I went into Berean mode to search out a matter. Now, let's look at what I found in scripture. Yes. And I still continue to find more support, even today. It's just amazing that once you grasp something out at you. It's just amazing that once you get a revelation, it starts to jump out at you everywhere you read in the Bible. It's amazing, really it is. And that's why I always tell you, read the Bible for yourself. Of course, the first scripture is the one we started with in this lesson, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one, which is found in Deuteronomy 6:4. Using the Strong's Concordance, we learn that the word for one used in this verse is a word that means the number one. So it seems pretty straightforward. It is also relevant to note that Judaism was the first religion that had one God. All others had multiple gods and practiced polytheism. Judaism and now Christianity are monotheism forms of worship. We worship one God, not many, or even three. Jesus affirms God's oneness as the most important commandment of all in Mark 12:28-29. One of the scribes came up and heard them arguing. When recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" And Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one.'" And then tells the scribe that his profession of God's oneness evidences his proximity to God's kingdom in Mark 12:32-34. And the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no other beside him." And to him, with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Wow, this is just a powerful passage to help us understand that there is only one God. This passage is so powerful. There is so much truth in it. You have truly stated that he is one, and there's no other besides him, the scribe said. And Yeshua told him, he was close to the kingdom of God. Wow. So do you want to be close to the kingdom of God? Next, a few verses showing that Yeshua, while the Son of God, is the Father. Not my opinion, but Scripture tells us, if you know where to look. The first place you can look is Isaiah 9:6-7. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this." Did you get that? One of his names will be called Eternal Father. And he will establish his kingdom with justice and righteousness. Didn't we just have a lesson recently on what God's throne is built on? Justice and righteousness. Most theologians consider this passage to be a messianic prophecy. In other words, they're talking about Yeshua. In this passage, it clearly states that his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Once again, Jesus confirms who he is in several verses. John 14:8-9, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Interesting. John 10:29-31. "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. After he said this, you know what happened? The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Why? Because they fully understood what he was saying. And to them, saying, I and the Father are one, are saying he was equal to or the same as Father. And to say that, for them, was blasphemy. Please note that what is not said is as important as what is said. He did not say, the Father and I are in agreement, or think the same, or are in unity, because those statements would have meant something slightly different. And again, if you look up the word used here in the Strong's Concordance, it is a word that means the number one, as opposed to many. When Yahweh spoke to Moses in the burning bush, they had this conversation recorded in Exodus 3, 13 through 15. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent to me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, this is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, this is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is the name for all generations to use to call upon me. That's an interesting name. I am. Now listen to these verses. John 18:5-7. They answered him, Jesus the Nazarene. And he said to them, I am he. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night he was betrayed, when the guards came looking for Yeshua. And he asked, who are you looking for? And they answered him, Jesus the Nazarene. And he said to them, I am he. And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. Now then, when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. He then asked them again, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus the Nazarene. This is one of those scripture passages that we read and tend to miss the hidden gem in. He said, I am he. And they drew back and fell to the ground. Why? I believe it was the power of the name that Yeshua used. He used the name, I am. I am he. He was declaring who he was. But they didn't get it. They fell back. And he had to ask them again. And they said again, Jesus the Nazarene, as if they didn't recognize that he was Jesus the Nazarene. So the I am he did not answer their question in their minds. What was so powerful, it knocked them backwards off their feet. This is so important to grasp. It was more than a grammatical sentence communicating that the person speaking was the one they were looking for. It communicated that God Almighty was answering their question, the great I am. Otherwise, why would they react with drawing back and falling to the ground? Why would he have to ask them again, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus the Nazarene. This whole it's just very interesting how this whole scenario plays out. Kind of speaks volumes. apparently more was happening here than a man answering a question. I believe here Yeshua is answering that he was both the Almighty and Jesus the Nazarene. Wow. Are you getting it? Did you get that? How about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Yeshua. John 14, 16 through 19 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. After a little while, the world no longer is going to see me. But you're going to see me, because I live. You also will live. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Think about this. To me, this is abundantly clear that the Holy Spirit is Yeshua, who is being sent, the Helper, who is the Spirit of truth. Yet he then says, I am coming to you. So he clearly tells them he is the Spirit of truth, the Helper. Hebrews 13:5b says, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you. Hebrews 13:6 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? This verse confirms what we learned in John 14:16 through 19. Yeshua is the helper. Who is the helper again? The Spirit of truth. Who is Yeshua? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Remember we said that earlier? To me, this is the foundational scripture to prove who Yeshua is. He's God. Hebrews 1:1-4 and 10, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, to the extent that he has inherited a more excellent name than they. And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. God is now relating to us as God's Son, so he can be our elder brother and the lover of our soul. Did you get that? It said God spoke to the prophets in many ways. But now, in these last days, he's speaking to us in his Son. That means in that representation of himself, he is speaking to us. It is a different way of relating. It is more merciful and helpful, because a father usually functions in a sterner way than an older brother. We are in the age of grace and mercy. Before, it was the age of law, because God related to Israel and the world as a stern father. But now he's relating to us as an elder brother. John 13:13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are correct, for so I am. The word used here for so I am means to exist. This is a hint. He is telling them who he is. rather than what he is, although he is also our teacher and Lord. He is the I Am. Wow. He exists. He's God. He created the heaven and the earth. He created everything. He's the living word. Oh, man, this is just, I don't know if you guys are getting this. This is just so incredible to me. Ephesians 4:4-6 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you also were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. Wow, this is another one of those verses that just kind of explains it. And this revelation was imparted to Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. When? On the road to Damascus. When he was blinded by a great light, and Yeshua spoke and asked, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. In Acts 9:4-5. He thought he was serving the one true God. And he believed in the one true God. He was a Pharisee. Probably going to be the next high priest. I don't know. That's what they say. But here, Yeshua blinds him with the brightness of his light and reveals himself to him and sends him to a guy who three days later opened his blind eyes. And then did you know that he went out into the desert for like 3 years and didn't speak to any of the other apostles or anything? Studied with Yeshua himself. I don't think most people grasp that. That's why he's a true apostle, because all apostles and prophets were called and trained by God. So here you are with Saul. And he became Paul, one of the greatest apostles, and he learned the truth about Yeshua, who's the Lord. Wow, this is just amazing. Yeshua was talking to a woman at Jacob's well in Samaria one day. And one thing he said was recorded in John 4:23-25. But a time is coming, and even now has arrived, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We have already established that Yeshua is God. So here, the singular God is spirit is very telling. We did not say God is three spirits, of which I am one, and the Father is another. He did not even imply that. Was he separating himself from the Father? Read in context. I do not believe so, because he also said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters. This is such a powerful exchange, establishing who Yeshua is, that he is God and he is spirit and he is the Father, and he's looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's all about worship here. He's talking about, where should we worship? And he's saying, I'm looking for those who worship me in spirit and truth. Now, because he was in his body, physical body here on earth, talking to this woman, he was saying in such a way that she could receive it. But that doesn't change the message, the fact that he is God. And he's looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. We worship Jesus. We worship the Father. Father and Jesus are one, because there's only one God. Do not forget Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. One Lord, one God. And that one God is Father of all. And Yeshua is eternal Father. You see how we connect the dots and we come up with a revelation of the truth that our God is one? Just read it in context. Here he is trying to help her and us understand that he is God. And he can give her a new life. And he can give you a new life. An everlasting life. A life flowing with living water. Now, I believe that everybody is going to live forever. It's just a matter of, where are you going to live? Are you going to live with the Father, with Yeshua? Or are you going to live in hell, in eternal torment? I pray that you will accept Yeshua as your Lord and Savior if you haven't already, and that you choose to dwell forever with the Lord in a life flowing with living water. Are you beginning to get it yet? Titles are not names. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Uncle, Brother, Sister, Mother, Teacher, Lord, even God are titles or designations. One person can function in more than one of these, but there is only one person. I am a daughter, a mother, a sister, a friend, a teacher, prophet, a neighbor. I have many functions, but I function differently in each of my roles. Yet I am only one person. It's easy to understand when you put it in that context, is it not? God has many names and designations. Late John Paul Jackson wrote a book with the title 365 Names of God. Each name gives us understanding into the nature and functions of our God, but there is still only one God, Yeshua. Or Jesus, in English, is the name above every other name. But he is also Jehovah, Yahweh, and so many more. Yet he's only one person, one God. Some use the cross to support their position of the Trinity, or three-person God. Yeshua cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Then died. They say, see? He was a different entity, because this Father Spirit separated and forsook him in that moment. Well, really, this is like if you amputated your finger, then took it to a surgeon who reattached it. Yeshua was cut off from the Father. Then he rose again and was reconnected to the Father. Yeshua is just part of the Father. It's how he chooses to relate to mankind on earth. He came and dwelt among us. God came and dwelt among us. While he was on earth, he manifested to us in a physical body as Yeshua, and is referred to as the Son. But he didn't stop being God. That's the whole basis of our litmus test. We must believe that Jesus is God. He's divine. He's the deity. He's the one we love and serve. He's our Lord and Savior. He's the one we worship and honor. We lift up his name, the name above every name. But he was cut off. Cut that off. And then he rose again and was connected to the Father, to the Father's whole. I like to look at it as God being a multifaceted being, just like a diamond. You cut a diamond and it has multifacets, a lot of sides that reflect the light and make it sparkle. Well, God is a multifaceted God. He has many attributes. And when we look at him, it's the brightness. And if we looked at the fullness of his brightness, we couldn't survive. Not in our current state. But someday we're going to see him as he is. And that's why Paul, when he was Saul and he was encountered on the road to Damascus, he was blinded by the light because God was revealing part of himself. He shone a portion of his brightness, not enough to burn him up to a crisp, but enough that blinded him. Because if you ever looked at a really, really bright light, you get blinded for a time. Amen. What about Yeshua sitting down on the right hand of the Father? Does this show more than one throne? One for the Father and one for Yeshua? No. This is symbolic language. Right hand represents righteousness and strength. Not only is Yeshua the Word of God, he is now the righteousness and strength of God. And we are to be clothed in his righteousness. None of our own. We don't have our righteousness is as filthy rags. So we clothe ourselves in his righteousness. It is his righteousness that we depend on, not our own. It is his strength that helps us to fulfill our destiny. Because we cannot do things on our own strength, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. When we are weak, he is strong. The scriptures I've shared today are only a few of the dots that can be found in scripture that will help us see this truth as we connect them. Once you grasp this revelation, you will begin to see it everywhere. The truth will jump out of the pages at you as you study the Bible. So I truly hope that you will be like a Berean and that this lesson has encouraged you to go and study this out for yourself, as I did under the direction of Yeshua, functioning as Holy Spirit, who is our guide, our teacher, our friend, our comforter, and so much more. Dear ones, we serve one God whose name is above every other name. That name is Yeshua. Jesus in English. We should do all things in his name, not his titles. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we got a glimpse of this revelation, this truth today, and that you will help us to walk in this knowledge, that we will know you better, and that it will encourage us to love you with all our hearts and souls and being, that it will encourage us to lift up your name, the name above every name. Because you said when we lift up the name of Yeshua, you will draw men unto you. And we want people to be drawn unto you. We want the kingdom to be increased. Lord, I pray for everyone who listened to this message today and the replay in the future, and I ask that they would have open hearts, that their ears will be open to hear, and they will grasp this revelation and know you in a deeper and fuller way, that you are our God. You are our Lord and Savior. Yeshua, we love you. We lift you up, and we want to be your ambassadors in your kingdom, advancing your kingdom on the earth, because you taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see the works of the enemy destroyed in our sphere of influence. We want to see sickness eradicated and people walking in divine health. We want to see people following the law, living as honest citizens, productive members of society, not stealing or killing or destroying, because that's of the devil. Lord, we want to walk in love and peace. Lord, you are love and you are the Prince of Peace. Fill us, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Yeshua, fill us and help us to be more like you. You taught us as you walk the earth. You showed us how to live as kingdom citizens. And as we go out this day and this week, help us to live as kingdom citizens. And for those who have not yet committed to become a kingdom citizen, who have not been born again, I call them in to the kingdom. I say to you, repent and be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is your guide, your teacher, your comforter, your helper, and everything you need. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Well, I truly do hope that you found this lesson helpful in understanding truth, and that you have committed to walk in the truth. Study the Bible under the unction of the Holy Spirit and learn truth and walk in truth. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And so until next time, I bless you with shalom in your homes. Amen.